Okay, we're about to start the Gemara we saw yesterday. Very, very important. Tosfos, as in a discussion, what is the problem when one person is eating Issa? What exactly why you cannot have Zimun in Rashi? It was because of Brocha Ba'aveira. In Tosfos seemed, at least to begin by saying something else completely, that it's Lav Shmo Achila, it's not called eating. We have various different Stodim, and we saw yesterday when Tosfos finished off, if they make a Neder, if one makes a neder not to have hanah from the others, there can still be zimun. But if they all make nedarim not to have hanah from each other, then they cannot have zimun because there is nobody there who can benefit from everybody else. Okay, so let's now bring again the Gemara. Mino hana mili. Mino hana mili always means, unless told otherwise, that this is referring to the first din that's mentioned in the Mishnah. So the first din that's mentioned in our Mishnah is the halacha of Zimun. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mino hanamili de shloisha ru'uyim lebirkas siruf. How do you know that this whole concept exists? So when three people eat together, what they're supposed to do is join forces, siruf. Like we said, the word siruf is going to crop up time and time and time again. How do we know that there's this concept of siruf when three people are eating? Says the Gemara. Omar Ravasi de Omar Kro. We learn this from a posuk. It's a posuk in Tehillim. We all recognize this. Gadlu Lashem iti unaremimo shmo yachto. When was the last time we heard that posuk? This morning, when they take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh on the way to the Bima. They say, Gadlu Lashem iti unaremimo shmo yachto. So let's first translate literally, and then we'll see the drasha. Gadlu Lashem iti, be megadel, greaten, glorify Hashem with me, unaroma moshamoi, and we will be meroimim his name, yachtov, together. Now, where do you see there anything to do with Tziruf or Zimun, or even the number three? So Rashi says, Gadlu Lashem iti, look at Rashi, the second Rashi on the Gemara. Gad lu is the plural. It doesn't say gadel. It says gadlu with a vav. If that's the case, then we clearly have one person talking to two people. Somebody is clearly talking over here and he's announcing gadlu, you, the two of you, plural, should greaten Hashem's name together with me. Well, that's three altogether. Harei Shleisha, Gadlu Hashem iti, Harei Shleisha, that's three people. Says Rashi, V'chein, this is the next pasuk. Look immediately back into the Gemara. This was the drasha of Ravasi, but Rabbi Avo says it's from somewhere else. Rabbi Avo Omar Mehocha, it comes from over here. It says, and this is a pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Goide Leloikenu. We will call out the name of Hashem. Havu Goideil, Havu, again, the plural, give greatness to our God. So once again, you have one person who's talking to two, which means there's three altogether. So look back into that Rashi that we began. V'chein Akra, the same is the truth with the pasuk Havu Goideil, Hayochid, Oimer Lishnaim. Hayochid Oimer Lishnaim. One says to two. So it's three altogether, and that is the concept of Siruf and Zimun. Now, the Gemara veers off track a little bit. Says the Gemara, Omer of Chanan Ba'abo, Minayin Lo'oine Omein Sheloi Yagbia. Now, essentially, this has nothing to do with our discussion, so why is it mentioned at all? And the answer is because it's learned from the same posse that we just quoted, which is Havu Goydel. So what is the halacha that we're discussing? Minayin, how do you know that when somebody answers Amen, you should not answer Amen louder than the one who made a bracha in the first place? The Omein should never outdo the tone of the Mavorich. How do I know that? How do I know minayim lo oina omein? How do I know that somebody responds with omein? Shaloi yagbia koiloi, that he shouldn't raise his voice, yoyser min hamavorech, more than the one who made the bracha in the first place. Shenema, once again, gadlu lashem iti, greater than Hashem's name with me. What does it say? Unaremo shemoi yachtov. What does yachtov mean? Yachtov means together. So if it means together, the Gemara understands from over here, that means don't outdo me, because if you outdo me, if the omein is louder than the mavarech, then that's not called yachtov. That's not called together.
Is that halacha l'maisa? That we shouldn't do that?
Yep.
So in shuls, it's I feel like it's one of those things that's not really followed.
In shuls, it does say, maybe that's an exception, because there, the Gemara does say that you should be oina omein b'kol koichai. There could be talking about not necessarily a bracha. What you're talking about when people say omein very loudly is normally with a yisgadal v'yisgadal shmei rabo. Maybe that would be different. I'll come on. And here we're talking about specifically a mavarech. Now, I'm curious to point out, I didn't have a chance to check this out. If you cannot answer omein louder than the mavarech, and how do I know that? Because it says, gadol Hashem iti remo shemo yachtov. Well, if the drasha is coming from yachtov, presumably that would teach us also that it shouldn't be less loud than the mavarech. Not only shouldn't it be more loud, l'chayr shouldn't be less loud either. Because l'chayr, that also wouldn't constitute yachtov. So it's a little bit interesting that I didn't have a chance to check this up. So why does the Gemara not point that out? The Gemara just says, don't make the omein louder than the mavorech, because that's not called unreim oshmo yachtov. Say that. So if it's quieter, l'chayr is also not yachtov.
What if it's only one person saying a bracha to one person? Then it's not yachtov, so can you say I made louder in a case like that?
Why is it not yachtov?
Because I thought yachtov has to be talking to two.
No, you're right. That's the general drasha. But here we're making a brand new drasha. The general drasha was one is talking to two with regard to tziruf of zimun. We're now making a brand new drasha. Whenever you're in a reim or shema, it should always be yachtov. It should always be together in unison. So if it shouldn't be more loud, the chayr shouldn't be more quiet either. The Gemara doesn't say that.
You can also say the drush is to ET as well, no?
Yep. ET. Isn't that the name of the film? I'll call Pony Vaifen. Nachum's shaking his head. I don't see that in Yishkefayim. You're right. I'll call Pony Vaifen. So I don't know why the Gemara doesn't point out that if it shouldn't be louder, then the chayr shouldn't be quieter either. I'm not sure. Okay. So again, we're veering off topic a little bit only because we're mentioning the Pasuk, which was brought previously. Says the Gemara. Another halacha. Omer Rav Shimon ben Pazi, minayin she'ein hamatargim. What's the matargim? As we know, Kriyas HaTorah in the times of Chazal used to look very different to the way it does now. And there used to be a Baal Koirei, which was essentially the person who got the Aliyah. That's another difference. There was no such concept, essentially, in the times of Chazal as a Baal Koirei. Whoever got the Aliyah to the Torah, he read from the Torah. Now, we're not experts enough, so we have a Baal Koirei. But there was another crucial difference, and that's what we're discussing, and that was there was a Metargim. A Metargim means there was a translator. This, of course, is at least slightly familiar to us from the concept of Shnai Mikra, the Echot Targum. So one person read the Torah and one person responded by translating the Torah. He was called the Metargim. Rabbi Yashar, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, used to give a Gemara Shir every single day. I think at 6 o'clock in the evening, very well attended, packed shir. And towards the end of his life, when he became weaker, it was harder for him to respond to a lot of the questions. So when people used to ask questions in the middle of the shir, there was somebody who sat next to him. And Rabbi Eliashiv used to whisper to him the answer. And then this person used to relay it to the crowd. Rabbi Eliashiv didn't have enough koiches. So Rabbi Eliashiv used to refer to him as the Matargim. That's your job. Your job is to be the Matargim. That's how he used to refer to him. I read that on one occasion, Rabbi Eliashiv wasn't well. I think he had to go to hospital. So he made contact with this Matargim, and he said to him, do me a favor, whilst I'm away, could you say the Shir in my place? So I once read an interview with this Matargim, and the Matargim said, I must say, I felt a tremendous compliment. I felt very good about myself. Here I am for a good few days. I'm giving Shir in place of the Godel Adair. I've been asked by the Godel Adair to step into a shoe. That's not bad at all. But he said, my bubble was burst when after a week or two, Rabbi Eliashiv came back and he just continued from exactly where he left off 2 weeks ago. So he said his bubble was a little bit bursting. I'll call upon him, Oifen. So the Gemara says, how do I know? Minayin she'ein ha-metargem rasho'oi lahagbia koiloi yoise min ha-koiri. So this is now not a question of a brocha and an omein. There is a koire, somebody who's reading from the Torah, and then there's the Matargim, the one who is, as it were, translating. But once again, Rav Shimon ben Pazi says, there too, there's also a halacha, but the Matargim should not be translating the Torah more loudly than the one who is reading from the Torah. How do I know? Shenema, because it says, this is a pasuk in Yisro with regard to Matan Torah, Moshe yedaber v'ho Elohim ya'anenu b'koil. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, he responded b'koil. Now, 1 second, let's just press pause. In this particular pasuk, who is, as it were, the Koirei and who's the Matargim? Sounds like we're learning that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Koirei, who says Moshe Yedaber, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is the Matargim. That's the equivalent Moshel to our Nimshel. So what does it say there? Moshe Rabbeinu is the Koirei, he reads. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Matargim, and he responds, but it says, how does he respond? He responds B'Koil. Now, what does that mean, B'Koil? Says the Gemara, She'ein Talmud Loimar B'Koil. There's no necessity for this word. He answered back, B'Koil. What is that teaching us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded B'Koil. Well, how else would you respond if not B'Koil? Says the Gemara, do you know what that's teaching us? Uma Talmud Loimar B'Koil. So why indeed is that word B'Koil written in the pasuk? What is it teaching us? To tell us B'Koiloi Shel Moshe. So that's where you've got to read the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu Yedaber. V'ho Elohim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded B'Koiloi Shel Moshe. Meaning, but not more loudly. So again, if in this moshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is the Matargim, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was particular, V'ho Elohim Ya'anenu B'Koil. In whose koil? In which koil? He answered back, in the koil of Moshe Rabbeinu, but not more loudly than that, says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi. So too we have learned in a braisa as well, Ein HaMatargim Rasho'oi Lahagbia Koilo Yesim Nakoire. The halacha we just mentioned, the matarge is not allowed to raise his voice more than the koire. The im e efsha lematargem lahagbia koiloi keneged hakoire. Now maybe this is the halacha that we were referring to before. What happens? We said he can't be louder than the koire, but presumably, therefore, he shouldn't be quieter either. So he's got to be as loud, albeit not louder. So what happens if he is unable to recite, to not unable to translate the Torah as loudly as the Koyre can. The Koyre has got a loud, booming voice, and the Mataragim has got a weaker voice, and he doesn't have the ability to at least match the koil of the Koyre. Says the Gemara, what do? Then Yema'ech HaKoyre Koyloi. So then the Koyre should lower his voice, the Yikra, and he should recite. So if the Koyre knows that the Mataragim is feeling unwell, or he's weak, or whatever it may be, and he doesn't have the Koyach to raise his voice, not louder than the Koyre, never supposed to be louder than the Koyre, but he can't even match the Koyre, then the onus is on the Koyre to drop his voice a little bit and thereby allow the Makre, the Mataragim, to match his voice. There is a bit of a discussion exactly how it is that we're learning from this drasha from Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understood from the Pasuk, Moshe Yedaber Vo'elekim Yanenu B'Koil. So who is the Koyre and who is the Mataragim? Moshe Rabbeinu is the Koyre and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mataragim. That's how we understood the Moshel. But essentially, it's not quite true, as we well know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role was not to be Mataragim, that which Moshe Rabbeinu said. To the absolute contrary, it was Moshe Rabbeinu's role to be Mataragim, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. What is always the role of the Mataragim? The role of the Mataragim is that you have somebody reading from the Torah, and everybody else is there listening, and they don't understand. Remember, in those times, they didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh, they spoke Babylonian. So the Mataragim then translated it in order that the Tzibur could understand what the Koyre was saying. So who essentially played that role with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu? And the answer is not Hashem. Hashem was not the Mataragim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not the Mataragim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mataragim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Klal Yisrael, remember with the Aseres HaDibros at the beginning, and relayed various messages to Klal Yisrael prior to that. And Moshe Rabbeinu then passed on that message to Klal Yisrael. So we've got a little bit of a role reversal over here. We really should have brought a pasuk that said the exact opposite. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was particular not to outdo Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather the other way around, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mataragim, was particular not to outdo the Koyre, who was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet the Gemara had it exactly the other way around. Moshe Yedaber Ve'Elokim Ya'anenu. So what's going on? Who's the Koyre? Who's the Mataragim? What's going on over here? If you look, that's Tosis's question. Tosis in B'Koyloi. B'Koyloi Shel Moshe, says Tosis, Ve'im Toma, I don't understand. Heichi Maisi Raya Moshe. How could you possibly bring a proof from Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, his role was to be the Mataragim, and yet you brought me a posse where it sounds like he's the Koyre. What's going on? Vaha, and surely, Sorich La'asuye, we should have brought, La'asuye means to bring, we should have brought a posse that says, the Moshe Hoya Mataragim. Surely that's what we should have been on the lookout for. We should have been on the lookout for a pasuk that says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mataragim, Veloi, Hoyomeirim, Koiloi, and he, in this role of Mataragim, did not raise his voice, Yoisa Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehoya HaKoyre. Isn't that the type of pasuk that we shouldn't be looking for? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Koyre, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mataragim, and we need to find the pasuk that says that Moshe Rabbeinu was particular not to raise his voice louder than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, what did we do? We brought the exact opposite. Says Tosfos, v'hu mevi, and yet the Gemara brought, Shakadosh Baruch Hu haya hakoyre. What's going on? Umoisha haya metargim. So we have a bit of a role reversal over here. Unlikely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makpid not to outdo Moshe Rabbeinu as the Kaire. Moshe Rabbeinu's role was not the Kaire. Moshe Rabbeinu's role was the Matargim. Says Tosfos, Upirish Rabbeinu Alphas, that's the Rif, B'koiloi Shal Moshe, what that means is as follows. Mistoma, Moshe B'kol Koichoi Hoya Oina. It is likely that Moshe Rabbeinu responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kriya. Yes, you're 100% right. Moshe Rabbeinu's role was not that of Koirei, but rather that of Matargim. His job was to relay to Klal Yisrael that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Says the Rif, Rabbeinu Alphas, that we can presume that he relayed that B'kol Koichoi with all his energy in a very loud manner. Mistoma Moshe B'kol Koichoi Hayoina. We can presume, even though it's not explicit, but this is our assumption. Presumably, Moshe Rabbeinu responded and relayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions B'kol Koichoi. Why? Kedei Lahashmia Koiloi L'chol Ha'om. In order to make his voice heard to the whole nation. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing 600,000 people, and that's just men. There's women, there's children. This is the greatest address of all time without a microphone. No microphone, no amplifier system, and he's now got to address 2 million people. So presumably, says Tosfos, it's fair to assume that in order to do so, Moshe Rabbeinu put in all of his koyach, yelled with all his might. Okay. Avol HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy hoya tzorich lahorim koiloi. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no need to raise his voice. Who was HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only addressing Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who's addressing all of Klal Yisrael, presumably he did so with all his koyach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's only addressing Moshe Rabbeinu, has no necessity to produce that voice in a loud tone. Why? Because it's only Moshe Rabbeinu who's listening. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy hayot tzorich lahorim koyloi. Why? Shel hare loy hoyom daber elo le Moshe, because he's only talking to Moshe. So now let's press pause over here. Who is the Koirei and who is the Matargim? So the way you read the Pasuk, and that was Tosfos's problem, it sounded like Ki'ilu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Koirei and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Matargim. And says Tosfos, that doesn't make any sense. We know that it was the exact opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Koirei and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Matargim. So listen to the way that Rav Alphas, in his absolute genius, the Rif, explains the Gemara. He explains, he says, listen, let's make a very simple calculation. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're 100% right, is not the Koirei, he's the Matargim. But he's got to relay this message to Klal Yisrael, to 2 million people without a microphone. B'kol koichoi. Okay. What about HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu? Does he need to speak to him b'kol koichoi? And the answer is no. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to produce a very loud koil if he's only addressing Moshe Rabbeinu? So therefore, what would you have expected to happen? You would have expected that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu quietly, and Moshe Rabbeinu would speak to Klal Yisrael loudly. That's what you would have expected, because that was the necessity. Says Tosfos, Va'afilu hochi, And nonetheless, even though there was no actual need based on the practical requirements for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak loudly to Moshe, and guess what? Nonetheless, he did so. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still raised his voice. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in a very loud koil if there's no necessity to do so? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not addressing 2 million people, he's addressing one person. So why does it say, V'Elohim ya'anenu b'koil, b'koilei shel Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised his voice? Why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu raise his voice? Ah, I know why. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have lowered his voice, which was actually the necessity, not more than that, what would Moshe Rabbeinu have done then? Remember, the Metargim is not allowed to outdo the Koyri. So if Moshe Rabbeinu would have addressed Klal Yisrael in the same tone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed him, well, can you imagine how many people would have heard? Not very many. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in a very loud koil? In order then to allow Moshe Rabbeinu in turn also to relay that to Klal Yisrael in a loud tone. So what do you see from there? That's exactly what we're looking for. There we have conclusive proof that the Metargim cannot be louder than the Koire. Because if the Metargim can be louder than the Koire, why on earth would HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in a loud voice? Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Moshe in a quiet voice, and Moshe Rabbeinu will relay that to Klal Yisrael in a loud voice. That's not what it says. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in a loud voice. This must have been very strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is addressing only one person only, and it is full blast. Moshe Rabbeinu is, as it were, wondering to himself, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu producing such a loud koil to him? Ah, I know why. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to produce a very loud koil in order to relay this to all of Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu can't outdo HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the Metargim cannot be louder than the Kleirei. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll help you along. I'll make sure that my koil is very loud. That way you will also be permitted to relay that instruction in a koil that's very loud. But otherwise, you will not be permitted, says Tosus. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised his koil, as it were, unnecessarily, based on practical considerations. Kedei, in order, shaloi, yehei, koiloi, shal Moshe, hamatargim, in order that the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the matargim, in order that it should not be rom, yoisa, a higher tone, mikoiloi, shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shahoya, koire, who is the reciter. So this is a beautiful tesis, a wonderful, wonderful riff. When you read the Gemara, what does it say? Moshe Yedaber V'Elohim Ya'anenu B'Koil. 1 second. Moshe Yedaber, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to Moshe. Moshe was the Kairi? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metargim? It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kairi and Moshe Rabbeinu is the Metargim. Says the Rif, you're 100% right. That's exactly what happened. Based on practical considerations, there was absolutely no need whatsoever for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in a loud koil, who's only addressing one person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless did respond to him, did address him in a loud koil. Why so? In order to that would then allow Moshe Rabbeinu and the Metargim to relay that to Klal Yisrael in a loud voice as well. But had HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoken to Moshe Rabbeinu quietly, then Moshe Rabbeinu in turn would only have been allowed also to relay that to Klal Yisrael quietly, well then nobody would have heard. So what do you learn from over here? Yes, you see the exact halacha we're trying to prove, that the Metargim cannot be louder than the Kairi. And the only way, therefore, that Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to relay this instruction, Bekoil Godoil, was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kairi in exactly the same way. But otherwise, he could not have outdone him. That is exactly the halacha we are looking for, and therefore we have reached our conclusion, both when you're responding Amen to a bracha, also the Metargim responding to the Kairi, you never outdo the person you are responding to. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Amid Hashem, we'll begin the Gemara, going over to Amud Beis, and then we'll see some of the Tosfos Amid Hashem tomorrow as well.